The recent disasters of bushfires, floods and droughts are impacting Australians physically, mentally and financially. But has anyone asked children and young people how it's impacting them? A recent report gave a voice to kids to talk about their experience and what their opinion is about future disaster recovery. The Office of the Advocate for Children and Young People, ACYP, which is an independent statutory office reporting to New South Wales Parliament, went out to disaster-affected areas of New South Wales and spoke directly to more than 400 children and young people about their experiences of disaster, and then they polled a further 1,000. This research led to the Children and Young People's Experience of Disaster Report. This morning on The Daily, we are joined by Zoe Robinson, the Advocate for Children and Young People, to find out what young people have to say about disasters. Good morning, Zoe.
Morning, Marlene. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, firstly, where did the idea come from to go out to disaster-affected areas to chat to kids and young people and create this report?
Well, I think we all saw it throughout the summer. We watched children and young people in fairgrounds and in front of burning houses, and no one was really collecting their views and having conversations with them and to understand how it was impacting them. So when I took on the role in January of this year, we made a commitment from our office that we would go out and hear the voices of children and young people and really understand how disaster had impacted them, but importantly, what they wanted to see next and how they wanted to be involved in recovery.
And in these interviews with the 400 children, what support did children and young people say they needed during that disaster?
The support they talked about that they needed, firstly, they were very respectful and very thankful for the support that they got from the RFS, from the community and from the global community as well. But they talked about having things that were specific for children and young people. So be it, you know, places where they could go and play or hang out, so that their parents could receive the information and then have conversations with them separately. They also missed things like being able to have their usual activities that they would have been doing over the summer holidays. So thinking about how we could have done that differently or made that happen for them. And then they talk repeatedly throughout a number of our consultations about being able to have support so they could provide peer-to-peer mental health support for their friends, also for their family and also for their community. And that was one of the big standout things that children and young people say time and time again. They want the tools to be able to support their friends better and their family as well in times like this.
Absolutely. That's a really important one. And the report also states that children and young people wish to have a voice and involvement in disaster recovery. It's quite often a voice that isn't heard in terms of disaster recovery. What are some of the suggestions put forward, and how do young people want to be included?
Well, they want to be included in the first instance by being part of that conversation. And so the conversation that we had, obviously, with 400 face-to-face was the first step. Secondly, they want to be involved in being able to support their school. They talked a lot about being part of the healing practices and being able to see the rejuvenation around the areas in which they live in. In terms of drought-affected communities, they talked about having a greater contact with the city so that people could understand the kinds of experiences and what they're going through. So they talked about, you know, exchange programs or trying to work with, you know, children and young people in different areas so they could understand the impact that it's having on them.
Oh, wow.
They also talked a lot about being part of the decision-making process that happens in recovery. So actually appointing young people to be parts of council groups that can share their direct insights to that. They again talked about the mental health support and being able to be a part of that. And they also talked about having kind of direct conversations with leaders to understand that, for example, around employment, what is their role and how can they be part of recruitment and the procurement process, but also how they can be part of supporting their community better. So what are the kind of education tools that they could have, which means they become leaders amongst their community around preparedness and recovery.
Wow, it's absolutely a lot to be involved in, but it's great to hear all the different suggestions that have come forward. What are some of the recommendations listed in the report? You mentioned some there as well. And I'm also interested in some of the examples that kids gave about information that they wanted to receive during bushfires or disasters. I read in the report that there was an example of kids wanting to have a bit more disaster prepared information in schools.
Yeah, look, that was one of the things that came out, and that's balanced with the fact that the RFS, together with the New South Wales Department of Education, have developed Project Firestorm, which is a training program for children and young people, and that is in around 300 schools already as it is. And so they talked about that kind of education being available for everyone, so not just because you're in a disaster-affected area, but it being something that everyone understands. They talked more about, obviously, the benefit of having the Fires Near Me app and how useful it was. In the flip side of that, they also talked about the way that we could have used, you know, communication and social media better to inform children and young people, because there was a lot of, you know, it was hard to get information in some areas, and so people didn't necessarily know what was going on, but obviously children and young people wanted to be able to access kind of information that they trusted, and they talked a lot about government sites that they do trust. So they talk about Service New South Wales and the positive impact that they had. In terms of recommendations around education, it is around that preparedness and recovery. In drought-affected communities, it's more broad about understanding and informing people about the impact that, for example, there's a great quote in the report where it talks about a young person, people talking about the showers or watering their front lawn and the kind of impact that has on them when they're in, you know, a drought-affected community. Oh, they talk about being involved in volunteer services and being able to have greater access to that. They talk about healing and cultural appropriate practices. They talk about the mental health peer-to-peer support, and that's a big theme, as I said before, that comes up time and time again. But there's some really practical things in there that they talk about, being safe places in evacuation centres and recovery centres, being able to have their animals with them if it's possible, being able to go back to their homes and have that time to regroup with their family before, for example, media come in and show the devastation that's gone on. So there's some really practical things, and we are currently and will continue to work with agencies across government to embed those kind of things. And a youth-focused platform, which is really targeted to the needs of children and young people, is one of the key things that we look forward to working with Department and Customer Service around, about how they can access all of the things that matter for children and young people.